Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Hump Day Wednesday! Did you watch the debate yesterday? Did you watch it live at 12:45? Did you listen to it on Civic Media at 6 p.m. last night? Because it was spicy. 844-967-2789. Our first topic of the day is breaking down what happened yesterday during the debate. And then actually, we are even going to have Judge Janet Protasiewicz at noon today. So
yes,
we will get to ask her how she thought it went. But before we get into that, Jane Madnair, how are you doing this morning?
I am well, thank you. Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
And Mr. Greg Bach, off of we haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Whoa.
How you doing, buddy?
You know what? You know what I'm feeling? Spicy.
Right?
I'm feeling spicy today.
Did you feel
today.
Spicy after watching? I think I pinged you last night. I was like,
yeah.
It's at 6 right now. If you, I think we're going to talk about it at the top of the hour. And then you proceeded to text me every time you got you got riled up. And so I think everyone, my reaction and also everything I've read since was, huh, they really
went at
each other.
Yeah.
I mean, more so because I think, you know, the second debate between Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson was a little, there was a little bit more, like a few more jabs. But I would say this even was more aggressive than that.
Well, at one point, Dan Kelly, you know, former Justice Dan Kelly, decided to not answer a question and go right back at Judge Janet. I mean, it was weird. It was spicy in its mildness. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was two judges.
What rank
judges.
Is that on the salsa scale?
I'd say the Scoville, I'd say 2,000, just below ketchup.
Where is it on the hot ones?
Exactly.
1 through 10.
Yeah. Oh, I would say that's a level 3 where you're like, you feel some spiciness, but overall you're like, that's fine, you know.
Okay, so you don't think it was that. You think it was spicy for what it was.
Yes.
But not objectively so.
I think for a judge's debate, a justice debate for this election, definitely spicy.
Definitely spicy.
Definitely spicy. But in the realm of debates as a whole, 3 out of 10. Spiciness.
Jane, what spiciness rank do you give it?
I would go with a 3, also with Greg. I guess I was a little surprised. I was especially surprised that Dan Kelly wasn't even more condescending and sneerish.
He was pretty condescending and sneerish, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought I expected
it's called being a lawyer.
I expected it to be even worse.
Well, what did you think? If you were able to catch it either on Civic Media, because we did air it at 6 last night, or watch the show, 844-967-2789. Also, since early voting started yesterday, I had multiple people leave comments on my reminder yesterday that they've already voted.
Oh, great.
So I think there's a lot of people who said that they already voted absentee by mail because they weren't going to be in town. A lot of people said they voted yesterday already. Are you going to vote early or are you going to vote on the day?
I'm voting tomorrow.
Voting tomorrow. Jane, yep. When do you think?
I'll go on the day.
Yeah. You're going to go on the day.
Yeah.
I don't have time on the day. I'm doing my taxes.
Oh, I'm doing my taxes on Saturday.
I mean, it's fine. I'm not being audited or anything. It's just, we got to drive to Milwaukee. And
why is it such a hump? Why is it, like, why does it feel, and I don't want to totally get off the topic at hand, but why? Because it's like, I did a better job. I do have to hunt down some W-2s because I moved. But besides that job, like, I did a better job of keeping track of my expenses for LLC stuff. Like, it shouldn't be that bad, but it is just something that my ADHD brain does not ever want to start.
And they see, I think there's the difference. Like with you, you have these different things you have. Yeah, you have definite
I have multiple
paper.
Things I have to hunt down. And be
yeah.
like, this person paid me this. And
yeah,
I had
exactly.
a lot of jobs. I got a lot of jobs.
I've had 12 jobs in 11 years. But for me, it's that thing of like, you know, we have all the paperwork and plans in place. We're good to go. We got to get in the car, drive from Milwaukee, talk to our guy. Shout out Frederick Larry. But it's that thing of like, will they, won't they? Will we get some money? Won't they get? Now we have a house.
So you don't know.
We have a house now.
Is that a write off?
You can write off interest, I believe.
Okay.
Jane, do you own a house?
We do, but we paid it off a couple of years ago.
Okay.
We were very,
servant, bring her a tea.
We were very lucky, and it was a certain bunch of circumstances that came together that allowed us to do that.
Yeah.
But there aren't many deductions anymore.
No, there
aren't. Paul Ryan, bless him. Pretty much,
bless his heart.
Bless his little heart. Pretty much nixed all of the write-offs we used to be able to use.
Well, I know that like when you have like having a house and having a kid, those are the two things people always be like, oh, and the taxes.
The tax breaks.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I mean, I have very little school loans, so not a lot of interest to pay. But we don't talk about this right now.
Yeah, That was a tangent. That was a tangent.
Sidebar.
And this is not Dueling Tangents. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This tangent brought to you by Lysol Ready Wipes.
All right. Well, let's. We have some clips from the show. So, kind of some of the bigger takeaways. Not the show. The debate. It was funny. Just to start right off the bat, that this was not a clarifying question that she did before the clock started. But did you catch the beginning?
Not the very beginning. I got this 6:15.
So let's just Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Probably a question should have happened before it started. But go ahead.
I thank you so very much. Is the timer on the back supposed to be queuing us? Just want to make sure. Is there a countdown?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the countdown.
It's green.
And is it going to queue seconds? It's just going to say the 1 minute. All right. So I'm sorry to take everybody's valuable time with that clarification. I was hopeful that we would have a little bit of a countdown. I'm absolutely delighted to be here with all of you today. I'm currently a judge in Milwaukee County. I have been in the assistant district attorney's office for more than a quarter of a century. And I have centered my entire career on being fair and impartial and following the law and upholding the Constitution. So last year when I started thinking about this race, the reason I decided to run for this seat was really pretty simple. I thought our democracy was in peril.
Done.
That's not fair.
I can't believe they didn't have a clock that had seconds. That's insane.
And I didn't, so I only listened to it. I listened to it on civic media. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either.
I didn't see what the setup was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and they were strict on time.
Yes, they were.
Emily Fannin was in there saying, that's time. And they were pretty good. I will say that both parties, both Dan Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz, when she came in and said, that's time, they didn't try to sneak in. They finished their sentence, basically.
Right.
And they didn't try to
step over each other.
Like you usually see in other debates. So they were pretty good at that. But it was like, oh, man, that's a rough start.
But regardless, like if this would have been Dan Kelly, I still would have said, you're asking a question on like setup. Once the setup has been decided, then the minute starts. You know, like
yeah.
it seemed unfair that either one of them would have been penalized for asking a question on how the technology is. That's not their forte. The law is.
The law. But again, when you have a strict countdown like that, you need to give these people the second count.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, I agree with that.
I mean, we have a better sense of time, I think, because we do this for a living, and I'm watching the clock constantly.
Not so much me.
But most people don't know how long a minute is.
No.
Do you think you would know?
Yes.
If someone said you have a minute to talk, you feel like you could fill the minute and come within a couple seconds of closing right before you...
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty close.
Should we test that later today?
Bring it.
Challenge accepted. Because
I feel like if I had to do... with my skill set as is right now, where I get to do the radio, but I have a computer with the internet right in front of me every day when we're doing this, and I can look things up and I can read things that I have planned, but it's not just talking and also just having one clock to be able to know when we're stopping. Like I have a lot of cues.
Right.
And I guess maybe with TV and broadcasters, they have someone in their ear.
Yes.
So it's not totally,
and anchors have floor managers too who are giving them time checks.
Yeah, so it's not totally on your own, but I don't think I could. If you said a minute right now, I feel like I maybe 15 within 15 seconds under or over I would know, but not definitely not two.
But again, you're like most people couldn't do that. It's just not instinctual.
Yeah,
On the radio, absolutely not. I see Jane getting very angry at me often saying, dude, shut up. Shut up.
I will cut you off.
I will cut you off.
The commercials will start.
I'll play some music right now.
Whether or not you're done.
But if I'm microwaving something, oh my gosh, I can point to the sky and I'm, those hot dogs are done. Those hot dogs are done. And the beep noise, it's just such a justification of my timing.
So is it just like a beat beat of it's done?
It's like,
and then you go ding.
It's like boom, done, or on the dot. I don't know what it is.
And you're not watching the time.
Nope.
You just know.
I can't see the clock from where I'm standing.
It's
in the kitchen.
A lot of practice.
I'm just very good. I've got the best timing in the world. All the timing is good, my big brain.
All right. Well, I feel like we keep getting off. Is it because, I don't know, I feel like the biggest takeaway for me from the debate, and this is, again, it goes back to when we first found out that this was the only debate that was going to happen, and largely was because Janet Protasiewicz had said this was the only one she wanted to do versus Dan Kelly saying he would do any of them. And it just comes back to, I think, the takeaways for me. I thought the people who asked the questions asked good questions. I thought the style was professional and besides the sound quality, but whatever. Everyone involved, I thought, did a good job on the setup side. The other takeaway, they were very feisty with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I learned anything new. And so it goes back to like,
what does it accomplish?
What does it accomplish besides being, and like, it's not the part of the job of a justice or a judge is not to like debate with other justices,
yeah.
Right? Like they write they hear cases.
And they write decisions.
And they write decisions. And so it's like, what did we learn?
I mean, it was just a retelling of their story. Like Janet was either saying, I'm going to do great. And Kelly was like, she's terrible.
Exactly.
Like that was over and over.
And she says he's terrible too.
Yeah.
I mean, she said he's a huge threat to our democracy. Like she equally did not hold back on him. But that's a good question for if you're listening and if you watched or even if you read what happened. Did you learn anything about the candidates that you didn't know before that? 844-967-2789. We'll keep it going. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Come November election time. You vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Men meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. Or I meet.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach, because it is Wednesday. And we're back because we weren't here last Wednesday.
I've missed you.
Did you have a good day off? What did you do with your time that you weren't here for 3 hours?
I worked.
On which job? You also have multiple jobs.
I do. I went to the club. I had to do some paperwork and do some bookkeeping and things like that.
Nice. So. Speaking of the club, we're going to round out today's show talking about the new Joe Rogan anti-woke comedy club that I didn't even know was a thing.
You asked me about stories, and I seriously this morning, I'm like, let's talk about it. And they're like, oh, let's not. And then I'm like, yeah, we're talking about this.
No, whoever wrote that article is really good. So if you're interested in have thoughts on what an anti-woke comedy club would look like, come back at 1:30 because we're going to talk about that then. But right now, we are talking about yesterday's debate
mm-hmm.
between Janet Protasiewicz, who will be here at 12. So we will get to ask her how she thought the debate went, and Dan Kelly, which the biggest takeaway, I think, for almost everyone was they went at each other pretty aggressively. And I think for me is I didn't learn anything. I mean, and granted for me, I have read a fair amount and tried to stay on top of as they're coming, you know, as ads are coming out, as articles are coming out, trying, and but I did not necessarily, I mean, I think you maybe got a little bit more of their tone, but I didn't necessarily learn anything. I was like, oh, huh, that makes me think differently about this.
But doesn't that make sense, though, in the long run, when you think about it? When you watch a debate between older persons or senators or whatever, they have policies they can stand on. They can have, they have visions they can speak about. They can get into the nuance. They can talk about broad visions. When you're talking about people running for a seat on the bench, that's not, those aren't applicable. Because, I mean, it, not saying in Dan Kelly's defense, but he did make the point saying that knowing Judge Janet's politics, as far as her thoughts on the different topics, made it seem like she was going to be legislating from the bench, which doesn't take a genius to see that he will do the exact same thing. But yeah, we don't, you know, I don't think, I'm not a huge fan of judge races in the beginning with, but I don't, having them debate, they're just, this is all they can do then. They can just go at each other about their records and say, well, you're lying. No, you're lying. And yeah, that's why I said it was spicy on a scale of 3 out of 10.
All right. Well, if you watched or read about any debriefs, did you learn anything? 844-967-2789.
Texter from the 414 checking in. Kelly claims that Protasiewicz can't be trusted because her campaign got some support from the Democratic Party, but she's already said she will recuse herself if cases involving the Democratic Party come before her. Can Dan Kelly say the same if a case involving the U-Lines or WMC comes before him, or would he revise and then unrecuse himself when he doesn't like the likely outcome, as he did in the 2020 voter purge case? Can we take that chance?
Dang.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like he, the hypocrisy here on his side, exactly. I mean, and she tried to lay that bare, right? So she's taken, you know, he tried to say she's bought and paid for because she's taken $2.5 million from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And he's taken, I mean, he's taken, I think there's been like a couple thousand, right? Yeah. But like all the other ways it's funneling in through PACs, it's like, this is still Republican money. It's not from the party.
Yeah.
So and that is like, he's being a huge hypocrite there.
Well, he had offices in the GOP. I mean, he had offices in the GOP. They were giving him office space
and,
to work out.
And she rightfully said, you were getting a paycheck up until December of 2022 from the Republican Party. And his defense there is like, oh, there's a difference between being on payroll and having a client.
They're paying you.
I'm a lawyer. That should just be a t-shirt.
You know, and he also, and what I did think was interesting was the fact that ultimately, and we're going to talk about this more in the next segment, because now we have two competing abortion bills in Wisconsin, neither of which will see
go
the light
anywhere.
Of day. But this is a losing issue.
Yeah.
And he didn't touch it because Protasiewicz tried to point out that he has been endorsed by all three of the major anti-abortion organizations in Wisconsin. And he tried to back off, even though part of their, like, requirements to endorse you, these groups, is to pledge to champion pro-life values. So if that was not the pledge, they would not endorse, and they obviously wouldn't endorse her, but they just wouldn't endorse, apparently, supposedly, right? Mm-hmm. But he was saying, well, just because I took their endorsement doesn't mean it has any indication on how I would rule in that case.
What?
And so he totally backs off of it because they know this is a losing issue, that well over a majority of Wisconsin voters want the restoration of at least where we were at
before
Roe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And which was up to 20 weeks. And that goes way further than the Republican bill was that was last week. And it is what the Democratic bill that was proposed yesterday was. But even the fact that he didn't stand by it, he knows this is a losing issue. So all he can do is point to her campaigning and being very honest about her values, and her trying to balance, I think, which is a strategy, right, is to talk about values because there are so much on the line
that are
emotional triggering issues that voters care about, that because of our gerrymandered legislature, the only way to ever get any of these things fixed now is at the courts.
Because they won't, they don't have to respond.
It's such a dystopia. I understand that. Like, it's not how the system was meant to be set up, but this is where we're at.
There's one thing that was mentioned last night that blew my mind, and I texted you about it too. $33 million spent on this. I mean, I don't want to say it's a nothing election. I'm not saying like it's an important election, but in the scope of America and all of our elections, $33 million for one election for a Supreme Court seat. That is bonkers.
You know what would be interesting? And I'm sure someone somewhere has collected this data. Because like who gets that money? All the media companies, right? It's like either nationally, so like a YouTube and all the digital companies, the things that they air on, but also radio stations, TV stations. Oh, I'll make this point when we come back because I'm getting the signal. We got to go to commercial. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give three cheers.
Is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go. To the I, to the no, no, no. My name is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is
full of coffee.
Full of coffee. And also Greg Bach. Well, we are still running out our conversation about yesterday's debate at noon. So in 30 minutes, Judge Janet Protasiewicz will be here so we can ask her how she thought it went and among other questions, as we are now less than 2 weeks away from the spring election. And then we get the rest of the year off ahead of 2024, which will be insane. But
we've earned it, people.
But at least... because we don't have anything in the fall, we actually get a reprieve from... we'll have plenty of to talk about with politics regarding the budget.
I'm going to mark those words today at what time around like August, September, when people are starting to throw their hats in the ring.
But it won't be political ads yet. And it won't be this is the most important election of your life. As I've said, right? How many times have I said, like, this is really important. You got to vote. You got to vote. You got to vote. At least for a little while, we will get a break. But 13 days from now, let us know if you've already voted. If you've sent in your absentee ballot, if you have voted yesterday since early voting started, if you're voting today, if you're voting tomorrow, like Greg Bach.
If you voted, take a picture of your I voted sticker and, you know, tag the show.
Tag the show. We would love that.
That would be great. Yeah.
As Goes Wisconsin. Otherwise, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Brag to us. Brag to us that you've already voted. but the point I wanted to make before the commercial so rudely cut me off, it would be interesting, and I know it wouldn't be apples to apples anyways, but for swing states like Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Ohio, Michigan, to look at the average, you know, TV station and what their balance sheet is versus non-swing states.
Interesting.
Because that's, and so, you know, because think about when we talk about $33 million being spent on this election so far, that's all ads, right? Like that's what they're spending. It's not staffers. I mean, some of it's staffers, but that's such a small portion of where that money goes to. It's media.
Yeah.
It's media buys. And some of those media buys are, and most local media is, you know, owned by bigger media, but at least on the balance sheets of the individuals. So the individual radio stations that are here, the individual TV stations that are here, the newspapers, I mean, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is running ads.
Sure.
And it would just be interesting to see if they're more profitable than a Kansas or somewhere where it's like a done deal for statewide elections. It's pretty Arkansas, you know.
I would say that maybe for a statewide election, like a judge's race or like a judge's race that's contained within state, I bet you even for a Kansas it can be profitable because you're trying to appeal to everybody in the state. Versus, you know, I would hope that, you know, Joe Biden isn't going to be dropping big money in Arkansas in 2024.
No, but you never hear, I feel like the record-breaking numbers. Like we've had, so think about it. We had a almost, was it governor that was record breaking? That yes. Our last governor's race mm-hmm. was the most expensive governor's race in the country.
Yep.
Senate between Barnes and Johnson wasn't far behind.
Yeah.
Now we are breaking records with the Supreme Court race.
Yeah.
And not all of that money is staying in Wisconsin to Wisconsin media companies, but a lot of it is. Mm-hmm. And it would just, I don't know who has looked at, maybe we can get Wisconsin Policy Forum on this.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, this is a job for the recombobulation area.
Yeah, look at Dan Schaefer on this. Someone who has more patience than me to go actually do the research. But it just, is it creating jobs?
No.
Is this creating media jobs for anyone? Is there any silver lining to how much money just evaporates into media ads?
I mean,
in a swing state.
You think about it, it's the media. It's the media buys. So they're spending money on creating the ads themselves. They have to hire
an agency
to do that. So they create, and then they're probably not hiring new people. Then they just email that right to the station, and someone behind there says, oh, thanks very much. Click, load, done.
Don't you think, too, though, they have social media people. So, people who are posting that stuff on Facebook and Twitter and the various platforms, they might add a few staffers to handle, don't you think, to handle stuff like that?
If we're going on the Wisconsin GOP social media, I've seen that, and someone's 11th grade nephew is getting an internship.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you have, you retweeted, they tweeted something out this week about Wisconsin being the home of the Republican Party. You had something to say about
that.
I
always have something to say about these people. I just said, I can't remember what I said. I'll look for it because I like to slam them. I am really, it's a problem. It's become a problem. I am trolling these individuals too hard. I'm looking at you, Scott Walker. I don't care about your Bible verses.
Do you have a discretion as far as the nameless person behind the Wisconsin GOP Twitter versus Scott Walker of like, is there any punching down with some of these people that it's just some intern that's posting?
No, they're all pushing the same message to me. I don't care who's posting because at the end of the day, they're pushing the same narrative. And at the end of the day, someone said yes to posting those narratives. They said happy birthday to the Wisconsin Republican Party. And I'm totally not finding it right now. So, here he goes. Yeah, okay, if you want to believe that, sure. Happy birthday if you like your cake that tastes like hypocrisy and intolerance. I just have no chill.
You have too much
chill.
Time during the
I have
day.
No chill. I have no chill. I either have no time or all the time. There's no in between. There's no like, I got a couple minutes. It's like, I got hours to kill, or I'm like, I can't even look at my phone right now. But yeah, I have no chill with these individuals because it's the same old, same old. Look out for my blog post on the topic. See what I did there?
I also believe that Will is going to be adopting hypocrisy and intolerance as their new slogan.
I mean, they forged it in fire themselves, really, when it comes down to it. I mean,
Maybe they get that as a brand, like when you get hired by the law firm.
Hey, Chuck and Davey.
Like Yellowstone.
Chuck and Davey ain't going to give you that Koch brother money unless you're pushing a narrative that makes oil look good and born children terrible.
Speaking of born children.
Yeah.
Let's switch to topics. Either of you have anything more to say on the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate yesterday?
No.
Jane?
No, go vote.
Yeah,
go vote.
Yeah,
make sure you vote.
Bring the spice.
Tell us when you vote so we can celebrate you.
And encourage all your friends and most of your family that you can stand to go vote.
All right. Agree. Across the board. So, yesterday, there was... So, last week, this dropped, I think, while we were not having... Dan Schaefer was covering the show last week. We were getting trained. But on Wednesday last week, the Assembly... So the Republicans in the Assembly proposed a new abortion bill.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of tipped our hat to it. We didn't talk about it a lot last week because it was dead on arrival, basically. And not only just because Governor Evers immediately said, no, I would not sign this, because what their bill did or would do was make exceptions for rape and incest and for life of the mother. But nothing beyond that. So it was not going as far as what we had
before
June 23rd, 2022, the before times. Robin Voss introduced this, said that he had the votes in the assembly. Governor Evers immediately said, no, I'm not signing this. But on top of that, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu also said, there's no need to discuss this because we will not be taking this up and talking about this on the Senate floor. So
it's so interesting when the Senate and the Assembly Republicans don't get together.
Well, I feel like there's probably some internal pettiness that also happens as much as there's pettiness between parties.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because there's too much ego.
Yeah.
That there's something, you know, because I feel like, you know, Fitzgerald, who was the former Senate Majority mm-hmm. Leader, and was basically running for Congress right as I got back. So I missed a lot of the time of him and Voss working hand in hand together. But I feel like I pick up on more tension between him and Devin Lemahieu.
Yeah, there's definitely more tension, but there was tension between Voss and Fitzgerald. Voss went on record once saying that if the science was there, he'd be behind the idea of medical marijuana. And they got a quote from then Senator Fitzgerald, and the quote was literally was, he said what? That was the quote. Like,
just admit it, Wisconsin GOP. Just call Robin Voss King, because that's what he is.
But I think they resent that. Good. I think that's what my point is. I think there's some pettiness and ego, you know, especially if you think about, was it last summer or two summers ago when Politico wrote that huge profile on Robin Voss mm-hmm. that basically referred to him as Wisconsin's shadow governor.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he loved it.
Yeah.
But other people in his party where they're a caucus, I'm sure don't always love how much attention and him being deemed
the head.
Well, also, the idea
most powerful Republican. I'm sure there's resentment towards that.
Also, he's an assemblyman, which I'm sure state senators think, well, I'm a state senator. I'm in the upper house of the state. You know, mm-hmm. there's that mental thing. Like, that's why we watch House of Cards and Frank, what's his face?
Underwood?
Yeah, Frank Underwood. Like, he was sort of not real known backbencher congressman, but he had so much power. I mean, Robin Voss is known, but he's an assemblyman. He's not a congressman, but the fact that he's an assemblyman in Wisconsin, he has that much power. Devin Mayhew must every day just be like, ugh.
I mean, truly, it is truly remarkable when you think about how few people vote for him every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And keep him in his office, because I think it's around 18,000 people. Basically, when you take down the amount of people in any given assembly mm-hmm. district, how many people actually vote, he always has someone challenging him. It's not, you know, not Adam Steen, but but I think I looked at it once, and it's usually somewhere between like 18 and 20,000 votes.
Yeah.
And that is that's such a small percentage of the overall state to have one person have that much power.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
When you drive through a scene, you see all those yellow Voss signs. It's so disheartening.
All right. So that was last week. And then yesterday, Governor Tony Evers joined Democratic legislatures to introduce a bill that would repeal Wisconsin's criminal abortion ban and revert abortion access to the day before the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And the quote from Governor Evers was, "This bill will simply restore access to safe, legal abortion to what it was on June 23rd, 2022. Nothing more and nothing less." Some people, I mean, real staunch abortion rights access people would say 20 weeks is also not enough. Mostly, I think, because most abortions after 20 weeks, something's wrong with a fetus.
Right.
And I've heard stories of people having, even before Roe, having to leave the state because it was 25 weeks and the test came back and something had happened. And but that seems, again, probably not going to surprise anyone that my opinion on this is that seems more than reasonable, is to just go back to what we had that everyone was perfectly fine with, almost somewhere between, depending on what the poll is, somewhere between 60 and 70% of Wisconsinites want this.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that the pro-life groups that are backing Dan Kelly, at least from what I understand, they don't want any exceptions at all.
Oh, they don't.
No, which no exceptions for rape, no exceptions for incest, no exceptions for the life of the mother. They don't care about women.
Well, they don't care about women, but I also, because this is the tricky part of this debate. Because if you believe it's a life, which, you know, I'm not saying this, but I think in that that mindset, if you believe that you are killing a child, you don't care about the circumstances that got there. I think there's more flexibility with if the mother's going to die and possibly the fetus as well. But the idea being that there is no exception to this because you're either keeping a baby alive or you're killing a baby. And that is like, that's how black and white they see it. But without looking at any of the data that says in states where abortion access is limited, infant mortality and maternal mortality, a lot higher. So pro-life, my rear end. All right, we'll be back in a second. This is As Goes Wisconsin. All my ladies, listen up. If that boy ain't giving up, lick your lips and swing your hips, girl, all you gotta say is, my name is no, my sign is no, my number is no. You need to let it go, you need to let it go, need to let it go.
You're listening to WAUK 540 AM. Kristen Bry in the morning. And that's the truth.
Welcome back. I am Kristen Bry. That is Greg Bach. She is Jane Matinair. So I don't even know if we've talked about it. We talked about it in Todd's show.
Very briefly.
When we guest appeared, had a crossover with his show last Thursday on the Todd Alba Show. 8 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. But what we did not do is talk, I think, very much about the fact that a certain comedic actress of
famous,
our time.
Famous.
Very famous. Unless maybe if you're young. I was talking to someone yesterday who was giving me a congratulations on this and said, although I did talk to someone who works at our company who's 22 who does not know what Seinfeld is.
Like, that doesn't surprise me.
But yes, so Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is very active politically, she is, while she's not from Wisconsin, the last couple cycles, certainly in 2020, but also in 2022, she has been involved in different fundraisers for Wisconsin Democrats and retweeted and reshared some of my videos on Instagram and Twitter. And so I felt especially special. And she retweeted, I made one yesterday, literally in like 5 minutes before I was getting ready to leave for work yesterday. I have no makeup on. I didn't even check the captions to see if like spell check. And like there's definitely some spelling errors in the auto captions that I posted. But it was just telling people how to find their early voting location mm-hmm. on myvote.wi.gov. And she retweeted it. And then Bradley Whitford retweeted it. And I was like, well, goes to show you, spell check everything. Take the time. I care less about the big zit that was on my forehead that was not covered up by makeup yet. But the spell check, I really, it was like, ugh.
That bugs you.
That bugged me. I think I said, because it auto-corrected male, and I meant M-A-I-L to M-A-L-E.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, oh, someone's going to, I'm surprised I haven't heard about that from someone yet. But,
why is it always got to be about the men?
But was it a coincidence that she retweeted one of my videos, and then on the same day, she got a National Medal of the Arts from President Biden.
Okay, all right. Slow down, tall potatoes.
I joke. But she did. Yesterday, she was a recipient of the National Medal of Arts from President Biden.
She is the greatest living TV comedic actor, period. Whether you talk about Saturday Night Live, the old, early days, Veep. Seinfeld, the new adventures of old Christine.
Yes.
Everything she does is hilarious. She is pure comedy, and it breaks my heart to this day that we never had to see her in a movie with Madeline Kahn. Those two in a movie together would have been
so.
Oh my gosh!
And I just want to throw this out there too. You know, she's won numerous Emmys and awards over the years. And she just always talks about what a joyful way it is to make a living and how lucky she is to be able to laugh, you know, and get paid for it.
I grabbed some of the clip. I mean, obviously it's a lot of visual, but there's some audio that goes with the when she got her award yesterday.
For her humor and wit that has helped to redefine American culture as one of the most decorated comedic actors of our time, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has blazed a trail for women in comedy and across American life through her commitment to excellence and the power of her example.
And then, of course, when you watch the video, she couldn't just receive the medal. Right. She still had to do a bit.
Yeah, of course.
And so they put the President Biden put the medal around her neck, and then she acted like it was really heavy and like started like scrunching to the floor. It was like, you know, consummate comedian.
That is.
I think when Ellen got hers, she was just sobbing. Although it was a different award when President Biden gave her hers. Yeah. But I just thought that was. She is a treasure.
She is. And I would like, as Wisconsinites to come together, claim her as our own. She's ours now. She loves Wisconsin. She loves our politics. She wants to help us. You just can live here.
You can live here.
You can stay at my place. I got an extra bedroom.
I feel like the closest she actually, because she went to Northwestern.
Yeah.
Which is obviously Illinois, but that's pretty close. She was pretty close to Wisconsin at that point.
I also think we should point out to other Wisconsin native actors like Willem Dafoe and Mark Ruffalo and Bradley Whitford, that if you would potentially like to get an award from the President of the United States, you should probably retweet.
Bradley Whitford did.
I know, but there's a couple others that we need to get on the.
I got to meet Bradley Whitford once. It was amazing.
He was
so nice. It was during the Obama campaign. He came back to Wisconsin to different campaign offices to say thank you and meet people and take pictures and get the word out. And I took a picture with him. He had a mustache because he was doing a pilot. It was post West Wing, but I was just, and I thanked him for everything. And
yeah.
I have the picture. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Well, keeping the Veep love alive, I just told Greg this at break and he's very jealous, but.
Jealous? No. Angry? Yes.
Fair.
Oh, dear.
Tomorrow, Thursday at 1 p.m., if you are a fan of Veep, if you were a fan of Seinfeld, if you're a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dave Mandel, who was the showrunner of Veep, he wrote for Seinfeld. He wrote for Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, he's
a director.
He's done some things.
I feel
things.
Like you're doing this all to hurt me.
No, I'm doing it to promote the show tomorrow.
Okay.
But I love you. He's going to be here.
He is.
And so what we're going to do in the game we're going to play with him is, you know, he's a guy who's done a lot of television and I think he's always probably looking for another really smart TV idea. So we're going to pitch him some premises for some new sitcoms.
Yeah.
All to do with Wisconsin. But if you have any ideas for a sitcom that we should pitch David Mandel, email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. You can text us 844-967-2789. But tomorrow at 1 with David Mandel, we are going to see if he likes any of our ideas. If we're future showrunners just trapped in Wisconsin.
I'm sure he is going to recognize the talent, Kristen, almost instantaneously.
You're making jokes, but you have no idea as a comedian what you're doing to me.
Really?
I'm going to pitch 30 ideas.
Good. Good.
And one of them will get picked
maybe
up for series.
Maybe you can call in.
I might.
Or maybe you could just come back. He's not going to be here in person.
I don't care.
Okay.
I'll be in the area. Actually, I'll be in the area. Be like, Mom, I know we're having lunch and everything, but I gotta go.
Worst case scenario, though, is if he doesn't laugh at anything.
That is true.
That would not be good.
That, honestly, he'll probably laugh because he seems like a nice guy, but comedians of that been around for that long, done that much.
It's tough.
It's tough to make them laugh.
Yeah.
They'll think something's funny. They won't think it's unfunny, but a lot of them don't outwardly laugh. They're more like, I understand why that's funny. I get the mechanics of the funniness, and it is funny. Good job. And then as someone who needs that sort of approval, I die inside.
So maybe I'm protecting you by having it be tomorrow and not today.
Good save.
All right. Well, coming up next for today, Judge Janet Protasiewicz will be here when we come back from the Top of the Hour news. But keep thinking of ideas for our segment tomorrow at 1 p.m. with David Mandel on Wisconsin TV shows that we can, what do we need in the lineup for primetime? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
The
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.